Syrian President Bashar al-Assad says the Geneva II conference should focus on the war against terrorism. He's also suggested he'll seek a new term in the upcoming presidential elections. How successful can the conference be with the government objecting to the idea of Assad's departure, a fractious opposition and the growing threat from terrorists? Russia and the EU have welcomed the official UN invitation extended to Iran. But why does the US want the invitation withdrawn? I'm Huma Lezgi and you're watching The Debate.
As fighting rages on between the Syrian government troops and foreign-backed insurgents, international efforts are underway for a peaceful solution to the deadly conflict in the country. On January 22nd, international mediators will gather in Switzerland to start a peace process. The key participants in the negotiations are representatives of the Syrian government and the foreign-backed opposition group, the so-called Syrian National Coalition. The group has long tried to introduce itself as a representative of the Syrian people. Ironically, though, not only many Syrians refuse to recognize the SNC, but also the coalition itself continues to grapple with internal divisions in its attempts to topple the government of President Bashar al-Assad. Given the fractures among the opposition ahead of the Geneva II talks, many remain skeptical as to whether such a conference can bring about a peaceful solution to the Syrian conflict.
It's quite problematical to know whether or not that can succeed. The main holdup, it seems to me, is the lack of a serious party on the other side of the table from the government. As we know, the opposition is very split about whether any groups of significance will attend at all. A number of them have rejected that. It's hard to know if there can be an agreement that will pin down the opposition side.
In his latest remarks, the Syrian leader has said that the war on terror must be the goal of the upcoming Geneva talks. In an exclusive interview with the AFP, the Assad said that he will seek a new term in office in Syria's upcoming presidential election, a move that's likely to raise some eyebrows among his opponents. The SNC, which accepted to participate in the talks under pressure from the US, has repeatedly said Assad's removal from power as a precondition for its presence in the gathering. And now, in the run-up to the conference, the UN chief has finally invited Iran to attend the Geneva gathering.
As I have said repeatedly, I believe strongly that Iran needs to be part of the solution to the Syrian crisis. Therefore, as convener and host of the conference, I have decided to issue an invitation to Iran to participate.
But soon after the UN chief's remarks, several countries reacted to the invitation, with the US pressuring the world body to withdraw the invite. Britain voices opposition, saying it rejects such a move unless Iran backs the efforts for a transitional government in the war-torn Syria. However, Russia reacted differently, noting that Tehran's absence would be an unforgivable mistake.
Around 40 countries have been invited to the conference, including Australia, Mexico, Korea, Brazil, India, Indonesia. If Iran were not on the list, that would seem profane.
Iran says it will attend the conference, but without any preconditions. From the beginning of the Syrian unrest, Iran, along with Russia and China, has favored a diplomatic resolution of the conflict. Iran's major role in regional developments has prompted many analysts to say that including or excluding Tehran from the upcoming Geneva talks does not change the fact that the country's marked influence in having a political settlement to the Syrian conflict is undeniable.
You're watching The Debate. Joining us now live from New York is founder of StopImperialism.com, Mr. Eric Dreitzer, and with us live from London, journalist and political commentator, Mr. Richard Middett. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being with us.